Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Glorious Rugby Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Fitzpatrick, and joining me is my fellow co-host, AKP, Alistair Kirsch-Poole. My man, we had week one result, not the way we wanted it to go. Got a lot to talk about, but how are you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you know, not really the way we wanted things to go, not really the result we wanted, but I think there's a lot of positives to take from the weekend, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. So for this episode, we're going to have our week one review. We're going to break down how Old Glory DC performed against Nola Gold, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then, of course, prepare for a very big match, week two, against the New England Slapjacks as we go up to Veterans Memorial Stadium to take on the New England Slapjacks in their home opener. I think they're getting their championship rings. Maybe we can play spoiler there. But AKP, week one. We got to start with just the lineup that Old Glory DC put out. Everyone saw it on social. A lot of different comments, insights. Break it down for me, man. What were your observations when you first saw the match day 23 for Old Glory DC?
So it's definitely unexpected. There were some things that I had some hints on. Like there was a lot of talk about Buckley at the open practice and stuff like that. So I did have some idea that he was going to be in there instead of Tusitala. But there were a lot of the other changes that I definitely hadn't seen coming. You know, no Tavita Nangali, despite him being a stalwart, and Bill Whiteside being in there instead. The backs seemed a little crazy. No Axel Muller, which we have since learned it's because he's still serving a suspension that he picked up in France, and so he won't be in the lineup this week either, but he should be good for our home opener. And yeah, there were some, you know, Koikoi Nelligan showing up in the lineup. You know, just his second or third MLR match ever. So there were a lot of curiosities there. Oh, and of course, Robertson dropping back to fullback, which of course is because Dabulis is injured and right. Hoyland isn't in town, and they didn't really have another option back there, so they dropped Robbo back.
Yeah. You know, and there were a couple other things. One, I think you hit on, at hooker, Martin Vaca, who I thought played pretty well. I thought he was a pest in the good sense, like a guy who was just always mixing it up. It's almost like he watched Old Glory matches from last year and was like, I need to be like Nick Suchon and just be a pest and a menace. And I thought he was great. We'll talk about him a little bit more. Tyler Rowland, of course, had to slot in at prop. Dottie at lock, which I think you called that one. I think you nailed that one. But then when we got in the back row, that's when things got a little funky. Jamma at flanker in six, yeah. Corey Daniel immediately slotting in at seven, and then our eight man, Lataro Bavaro, which I was surprised by that, honestly. I thought at least six and eight would switch. But yeah. What were your thoughts behind how the back row shaped out? Was that something that you anticipated as a possibility, as Bavaro dropping back there and putting on the number eight jersey?
I hadn't really thought about it, but it's one of those that definitely took me by surprise, but it also doesn't shock me. I mean, Bavaro is perfectly capable of playing at the eight, and yeah, Jam is perfectly capable of playing at six. I mean, Jam has played six at the international level even, so, you know, none of those are sort of totally crazy moves, but it's definitely was unexpected. But I also said that I did not know what was going to happen in the back row, because you've got so many good options and all of them can play everywhere, and it's like, yeah, whatever happens. So yeah, I feel like that wasn't necessarily where the problem was. Another interesting thing about the lineup, though, is that when you get into the backs, that's where it gets really interesting, because you had Palema Roberts in his first ever MLR game, you know, injured in preseason back in 2022, missed two full seasons of rugby and finally back and instantly into the lineup, which...
And he had his MLR, welcome to MLR moment.
Get to that. Single-handedly gave up a try there, but when you look at it, it's like not actually crazy that he was in the lineup, because if you think about it, Mueller is out. He's still mm-hmm. suspended. You've got Hoyland, who isn't in the country yet. You've got Tabulus, mm-hmm. who is injured. So then you've mm-hmm. got, and then you've got every other back in the lineup, yeah. except for Mike Weir.
Yeah, and Willie T.
And so
where was Willie T?
Is the truly strange one in that, like, why Willie T was not in the lineup, I have no idea. But if you accept that there's some reason that he wasn't in the lineup, then it makes mm-hmm. sense. And this is partly a consequence of the, you know, we talked about this team being deep, and in a lot of ways it is. It's the quality of depth that we have is really high, except we don't have that high a number. The sheer quantity is missing. And so you get, you know, a few players in the back three or in the backs are out, and suddenly you're playing pretty much every back you've got on the roster. You know, there's suddenly you're having to make sort of odd selections. You're having to put in guys who have not played for 2 years and were a rookie to begin with. Like, that sort of craziness is happening because we just don't have the quantity of players to make sort of more sensible selection choices. You know, you're dropping a fly half back to fullback because you had one fullback and he's injured. So that, you know, that's a sign of that coming out. But let's talk about Willie T, because I really, really want to know why he wasn't in the lineup.
Well, I wish I had the answer, my man. Simon Cross, and anyone else, if you're listening to this, you know that my love for Willie T. So can we, I mean, so, we, okay, I'm going to calm down here. I've gotten over the fact that he wasn't included in the week one roster for the match day 23. For whatever reason that is, we don't know. We did see it last year. He didn't play the first two games last year. Very big game coming up against New England. I hope we see Willie T in the lineup, because I think that makes a difference, and we're going to talk about some of the issues we had, the issues that were happening about the inability to score. But, I mean, AKP, are you concerned that we may not see Willie T for week two?
I mean, without knowing why he wasn't in for week one, it's obviously a concern. If it was just a coach's choice because he liked what he saw and wanted to give this, you know, this guy a chance or that guy a chance, or it worked out that way, then absolutely he's going to be playing in week two, I think. But if it was an injury concern or something like that, then, you know, that or some sort of, if there was some non-arbitrary reason that he was held out, then maybe we won't see him. And I think that would be a loss for the team, because it's worth mentioning that with Mueller out and Hoyland out and Kevin Brow injured, there's actually plenty of foreign player slots to go around. I think we had four foreign player slots unfilled. You know, I think we only had six foreign players in the lineup yesterday, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're talking about Willie T and his omission from the match day 23. Another one that I thought was glaring, I know there's not a lot of room in the back row, but Nico Jones. I think Colin Gross certainly has earned playing time, without a doubt, the way he played last year. His position flexibility, you can put him at lock, you can put him at flanker, his more natural position, I'd say. But Nico Jones not being there week one, eyebrow raiser, unless, and I'm going to go with this conspiracy theory, Simon Cross, is he playing games already? What I mean by that is, you know, is he saying, hey, not necessarily holding back, but maybe not revealing all of his cards ahead of a really big match week two against New England? All of a sudden, should we see Danny back? Probably. Will we see Willie T in the lineup? I'm optimistic. Is Nico Jones going to be in the match day 23 for New England? Potentially. All of a sudden, then, things get a little more interesting. You know, I don't know. Are there some mind games going on? And if so, that'd be amazing, because I'm all for it. Because why the hell not? It's fun. But I don't know. It's just, this is me trying to rationalize and just, you know, figure out what was going on with week one, given that, it to me, it seemed like not having a preseason game probably hurt us a little bit. It seemed like,
I think it did. Yeah.
You know, and it's always easy to second guess the season. Hindsight's always 20/20. but a preseason game against another MLR squad would have helped, I would think. Would have helped weighing injury concerns, but would have liked to see the boys be a little bit sharper. But hey, KP, let's jump into this game a little bit here. Let's talk through it real quick. Nola Gold came out, and that first 5 minutes or so, they were kind of dictating how things were going. Although Old Glory DC did have some great goal line stands there, did not give up a try, slowly started to get possession back. Jason Robertson playing at fullback. Heck, man, if teams are going to commit penalties on their half of the field and it's got a good line of sight to the sticks, Jason Robertson's going to nail them, and he did. He came up and drilled both in kind of wet-ish conditions still, slippery game. After 16, 17 minutes, Old Glory DC, we're maintaining possession. We're up 6-0. We're not doing a whole lot, it seems. So I guess that gets to my question. Couldn't dot down tries, you know? Granted, Nola Gold did not score anything in the first half, but the inability to score five-pointers here, was that game plan? Is it because we were missing a few key pieces? Was it because of the weather conditions that we hinted and talked about? Combination of all of that, lack of preseason result. What were you thinking there? What are your thoughts around offensively?
I think it's down to one thing. I think I went on a rant last year about creativity in the attack and how the game plan, you know, just wasn't giving them very many opportunities. And actually, that's completely not the problem this year. I thought the attacking structures were good. They were giving, because I mean, fundamentally, like, what you want to do on attack is give yourselves more options than the defense is capable of defending. And, you know, attacking structures give you more options. You know, they put players in places where you have more options, and they can confuse the defense into not knowing which one you're going to take. But a lot of that is down to time. You don't give the defense time to react to whichever option you end up choosing. If your passing is mediocre to bad, then, you know, players are catching passes flat-footed, and that takes a bunch of time. It just takes, you know, they've got to stop, catch the ball, and then restart. And by that point, the defense has been able to react. And the passing in this game was terrible. Like, I guess I've seen worse, but it was like college level. I've seen college games on TRN that have featured about that level of passing, where it's just nothing's quite accurate. You know, balls are a little too high, players are catching them above their head, or, you know, a little too low and they're bouncing off the ground, or they're catching them a little too far out in front, or too far out or too far behind. There just was such a lack of precision, and it just slowed the whole thing down and made gave the defense plenty of time to react. When Old Glory did get going forward and they got those moments where they could just offload, we saw things work really, really well. I thought the offload game was great, and, you know, we backed up the players who were breaking through really well. We just didn't have the precision in passing. And I think if we get that, I thought the rest of it all was working really pretty well.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And harkening back to the conversation we had with Chris Dunleavy a few weeks ago, talking about the defensive structure and staying in games, certainly not Old Glory's best performance. And even, you know, look, we had the lead through 60 minutes of the game. Nola Gold wasn't really putting anything together offensively. And yes, they were missing a few key pieces. I mean, JP Duplessis, their center, was not playing. That was definitely a big part of their offense. But they still had Rodney Iona. They still had Jordan Jackson Hope out there running around. Nola Gold had 0 points on the scoreboard going into the 60th minute. And this, I thought, became a key moment in the match here. Nola Gold was coming in the Old Glory's half of the field. There was a tackle. Corey Daniel made the tackle, got penalized for not rolling away. I'm going back, I'm looking at the highlights from it. He got a penalty, and then the ref immediately brought out the yellow card. For what? I don't know. And I'm not blaming this on the ref, but I just wonder, did something else happen in that breakdown that warranted Corey Daniel getting the yellow there. He was trying to roll away, it seemed like. Now, from the angle that we saw, I couldn't tell if, I don't know, was his hand in you know, moving the ball around a little bit? I don't know. But to me, I'm watching it, that doesn't warrant a yellow card. And maybe I missed some of the build-up to it, or maybe it was a number of infractions, but it didn't seem like that play warranted a yellow card. All of a sudden, Corey Daniel comes off the field, right? Nola Gold kicks a penalty. It's now 6-3. 5 minutes later, right? Old Glory DC, I think we had, it was our scrum, our put in, and this is when things broke down. Of course, we had to slot someone else in to join the scrum. They put John Powers, who was outside center, into flanker. McVay came in, I believe, for Buckley at that point. The ball got fed in. Nola Gold was like, hey, this is a prime opportunity for us to be able to drive this scrum back. And they did. They won it. Got the ball out quickly. Boom. Pass or two in the corner. Nola Gold takes the lead. And we were down a man. I mean, but that play right there, that stretch of 10 minutes there, after Old Glory DC was controlling the game in possession for most of the time, up 6-0, up 6-3, still a few minutes left for this yellow card to go off, things unraveled there. And I guess, don't want to blame it on the ref, but defensively, we looked pretty good. We put the subs on. Things kind of shake out. Bail me out here, AKP. What happened in that 10-minute stretch there for Old Glory?
Yeah, I think the yellow card really did have a big impact. It was the moment where you saw the match go from looking relative, like, Old Glory looked in control. It was one of those, we were only up by 6 points, but it didn't feel that threatening. It didn't feel secure, for sure, but it felt like we were on the front foot and generally controlling the pace game, which partly that was because the kicking was fantastic. Our in-play kicks were just great. Robertson really controlled the game from the back of the field, and it was on point. And that really broke down when we were down a man, as you'd expect it to. And we mostly seemed to survive that for a bit, but then there's really just not a lot you can do when you lose your own scrum in your own, you know, on your own 22, and you're down a man already, so you've got, you know, there's just too much space to work with there. And, you know, I think McVay should have been trying to get that ball out as quickly as possible. It was one of those that, like, if watching the game, it's like he should have been aware that Old Glory's scrum was not necessarily dominating in those situations, and had struggled on their own put in a couple times, because there was one earlier that they got blown backwards on. Which is an interesting thing. You expect to have the advantage, but they seem to have a bit of a disadvantage putting the ball into the scrum, I guess just because they're now focused on the ball instead of the scrummaging. So McVay should have been trying to get that ball out as quickly as possible, and or Bavaro at the back should have been trying to pick it up and run with it, and before it became a penalty. And certainly before Nola were just able to push over and take it. And that's something that the scrum coaches are going to need to look at, how that happened and how to prevent that happening in the future. But yeah, and then it just sort of then.
Well, then sort of then AKP. Okay. So Nola Gold takes the lead. It's now 8-6. Okay, there's still 12-13 minutes left in this game. We're going to go back to 15-15 again. Penalty. Nola Gold kicks 3 points. It's now 10-6. Now we're getting into the 75th, 76th minute. Hey, a try here can take the lead. Conversion, we add on a couple extra points. We're back to full strength again. I'm watching this game saying, okay, not an ideal situation, but we've talked about this. We've heard about Old Glory DC staying in games, composure. Okay, this is where we can put some phases together and try and score and take the lead. Like the dam was going to break at some point. There was no way they were going to prevent us from scoring a try. And we're getting into the 76th minute here. We're kind of volleying the ball back and forth a little bit. The ball gets booted down the field. A great kick. Nola Gold fields it. I think it was Reese Botha who fielded it. He starts coming down the field. Our boy, Palema Roberts, making his MLR debut. I went back and I looked at the highlights, and this was definitely his welcome to the MLR moment. And I'm not trying to criticize him at all, right? Big moment for him coming into the game. It looked like when he was trying to go in for the tackle, not that he was necessarily going high, but that it looked like he was trying to maybe get his hands on the ball and maybe just lost some leverage, and both had just kind of bowled him right over. Obviously freed things up. He's running down the field. He does a little chip. Kudos to Koi Koi. I mean, that kid plays all out. He was not going to let Nola Gold just score easily enough. That ball just takes a couple of bounds, pops right up to Filimoni, dots down. Ah, that right there, backbreaker. And that goes from Old Glory DC losing a table point, right? Because it's 10-6 at that moment. All of a sudden, Nola Gold converts. It's now what? I might have the score wrong. 17-16, 18-6. I think that ended up being the final score there. But it went from, hey, we're in a position to try and move the ball down the field and see if we can score and take the lead, to, oh, crap, we've just given up a try. We've now lost out on a potential very valuable table point, all in the span of a few minutes. And it was just such a frustrating. So frustrating.
Yeah. And, you know, you can point to the fact that we had, you know, I don't like to rag on players. And Palema Roberts, it's his rookie debut after 2 years out of the game. Like, yeah, he's going to have moments like this. That's fine. I don't think he should feel bad about that.
No,
I mean, it's a learning moment for sure. I'm sure he'll take a look. I'm sure he's thinking about it right now going, ah, if only I'd. But he needed to make that tackle at the end of the day. And that's the sort of thing that, like, those moments are going to happen in games. But if you're a team that is relying on controlling the game and making kicks, you know, you're trying to win 6-0, then you can't let that happen. And I think you go back to the way this roster is set up, the fact that we really, you know, it was Palema Roberts, or we could have put Mike Weir out there. And that was our choices. Unless Willie T was in the centers, and then you could have put, you know, someone else out there.
You could have put Shabazz.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes back to, you know, yes, that's what happens when you put a rookie who hasn't played in 2 years out on the wing, like, and to ask him to make a one-up tackle. If he'd made that tackle, no way they score.
Yeah.
They would have been shut down there, and they would have, you know, recycled through the phases. And
box
kick, and the fact probably. That he missed it meant that they're just, and the fact that he got bowled over, the fact that he couldn't even really do much to delay and, you know, or prevent the offload or something like that, it just meant they had too much, they could go too quickly, and we just didn't have the time to go over and cover. And it sucks, but yeah, there are a couple of good things I want to get to. We've talked
before we move to New England, talk about a couple of good things real quick. Yeah, because I don't want this episode to be too downtrodden, because I'm not too downtrodden. Again, it's week one, no preseason. Like, okay, there was going to be some growing pains. Let's focus on the good. Go for it.
Yeah, so let's take the lineouts. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
Ignacio Dotti, amazing in the lineup for being disruptive to their line. To their lineouts. And then, you know, our mauls were excellent. You know, we managed to drive sort of 5-10 meters every time. And we came very close to scoring, and, you know, they had to resort to collapsing our mauls on the goal line, and then we just, that last time just happened to get held up. So I think in alternate universes there are times where we score that try off of them all. It's not like we didn't have opportunities. Our attack wasn't completely impotent or anything like that. We had those opportunities. It just didn't turn out for us. And defending mauls, they also really didn't get any go forward on their mauls, and it ended up with they sort of stopped even trying after a while. And I think that's a great sign for us.
Yeah, I agree. He had a couple, ball was held up, or maybe it was down and they couldn't see it because there's just bodies on the floor. Unfortunate there. Every time we went to the scrum, I don't know if you noticed this, and when they like zoomed in on the scrum, Rob Harley was fired up. I don't know what he was yelling. I was trying to pick up on what he was yelling, but he kept yelling. It seemed like the same thing every time, like right before they were about to go down. I was just like, all right, I love this intensity. I don't know. That was just something that caught my eye. And again, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the episode, but Vaca, Peston in the most endearing way possible. Like, you need a hooker out there who is going to get under people's skin. And he was busting things up. He was jawing a little bit back and forth. There was that interesting play in the first half there when Rodney Iona was trying to kick the ball and he took like a step and it was kind of weird. They tried to go quick and it was weird, but like Vaca knew what was up and, you know, he was game for it. And I think he got a couple of cramps, so like slowed the game down. I don't know how much of that was gamemanship or not, but I'm all for it. So like, again, a pest in a good way, kind of like my old crusty friend Kyle Bailey, who's unfortunately on the enemy now, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, again, a couple of things that stood out, anticipating, you know, a different match day 23 for New England. But AKP, before we go to week two, was there anything else on the good that you want to cover from week one?
Yeah, we defended Rucks well. We defended, you know, there was a little bit, I know a few years ago we had a problem where players would take the ball and try and go straight through the ruck and they would generally be totally successful and we wouldn't have anyone cover. And we got scored on a ton of times in 2021 or 2022 that way. And this time, not even an inch. It was just extremely well covered. The defense played very connected. Our tackle rate was really pretty good, except it lagged towards the end of the match. But mostly, you know, we were making the tackles that we needed to make. And overall, they weren't making the gain line that often, or they were getting back, having to work hard to just get back to the gain line. So there were a lot of positives in this match. There's a lot of things to clean up. It was rusty. But I think we've got a good shot. If we're going to play like this again, I think we shouldn't feel too down on this performance.
Yep. Look, we defensively only gave up two tries. You're gonna be in every single game if your defense has only given up two tries. And again, those tries were circumstances of us being down a man and an unfortunate kind of breakdown in the tackle. So that stuff can be fixed, right? Like all that stuff. So again, we can limit teams to two tries. We're going to be in position to win games, and we were. We were in a position to win that goal game. Fortunately, we couldn't get a table point or two out of it. But we move on. We move on. And we move on to a really, really big test. Week two, of course. The New England Free Jacks, their home opener. I think they're getting their championship rings from the season before. You know, they, of course, went down and played Anthem. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I think they've reeled off now 13 straight wins if you go back to last season. So New England's certainly a formidable opponent here. I just want to quickly review the last three results from New England. Of course, most recently that loss in the Eastern Conference Final. Before that, Ogilvy DC had that game that just got away from them, the loss at home against New England, and then we opened on their at home again for them. I believe, I don't know, it might have been their home opener last year, that very close match where Old Glory DC nearly got it at the end. A great back and forth game that was a lot of fun, really just kind of building up that intensity and that trying to bring back an actual rivalry, because it has felt a little one-sided, to be candid, right? Because New England has gotten the results against us. So those are the last three results against New England. Let's talk a little bit about what New England has done in the offseason. And I don't want to highlight every single player here, but a few things just to point out here. One, unfortunately, Kyle Bailey has now joined the New England Free Jacks. I don't think we saw him week one. I don't think he was on the match day 23. I could be wrong. But we'll be interesting to see if he's in the week two lineup. Of course, they got Josh Larson back, who was injured most of all last season with his shoulder. He's now back. They picked up, I think, the Chile captain, Martin Segrin. He played. You know, he's a fun player. Certainly in Rugby World Cup, Leroux Milan, their center, you know, for Namibia against New Zealand, had that leg injury that actually looked worse. It apparently wasn't that bad, and he's on the mend and coming back. I don't think he'll be available for week two. You know, he's a really good, strong young center. And then, of course, Bodine Waka, who back and forth. Will he join New England at the end of what's going on down in New Zealand? I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, Patros is filled in nicely, right? So I bring all that up to say they brought a lot of pieces back, and they've added a couple more. But if you're looking at the New England roster, AKP, break it down for me. Where do you really – where are the – highlight a couple of the strengths of this New England team and what they do well.
I mean, they've always been, they've always had a good, I mean, they sort of do everything well, which is annoying to say, but, you know, yeah, they're a championship winning team, and there was a reason for it. They've got a good kicking back line and a good running back line. They're really a lot of electric pieces back there. And, you know, their forward pack has always sort of been in control, been able to sort of hold up at the scrums, hold up at the lineouts, and get them enough go forward ball to supply the backs. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of weaknesses, not a lot of obvious weaknesses in this team. And that hasn't been true of every team going, every championship winning team going into the past. I mean, New York, when they won their championship, they were a very flawed team in a number of ways, but just managed to put it together. And this team feels a little more complete than that team.
Any individual players you want to call out, either had a good performance in week one or just have carried over into this season that are players that Old Glory DC need to be, they need to be contained, so to speak, for Old Glory to stay in this game?
Yeah, I mean, Jason Patros is the obvious one. Anyone who sort of manages to come in and adequately replace Bodine Waka is got to be a quality player. And I think it will be tougher for us to just clearly win the kicking battle this week. We pretty clearly won last week against NOLA. We had the better kickers, but I don't know that that's going to be as true this week, and that could take away some of our ability to control the match. So, and winning that kicking battle is going to be pretty key, especially if we're planning on, you know, playing defensively. We're planning on, you know, relying on Jason Robertson's boot to get us a bunch of points. Like, we got to be playing in their half, and that comes from kicking well.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about the kicking. I think that was potentially, we'll see what their lineup looks like against Old Glory DC, but if you looked at the lineup that New England trotted out against Anthem, and we'll talk about Anthem in a second, but it wasn't New England's top side, at least in the backs, right? Because they had some injury concerns or recovery concerns, right? Mitch Wilson, capped Eagle, was not on the match day 23. Paula Bellicana, who was tied for the league lead in tries last year, was not on the match day 23. Obviously, they were missing Leroux Milan, and I believe Wayne Vanderbank, too. Another strong center. No, was he in the lineup for that game? He was. Okay, so scratch Wayne Vanderbank. But if you look at the wings that they put out, Zach Bastries, who, again, good young player, fast, but not their top side winger. And then they had another player whose name, I think, is, I don't know if he's an academy guy. I'm not sure where exactly he came from, but certainly not their top two wingers. And then they had Reese McDonald back there, who's actually, I really like him a lot. I think he's a fine player. And he obviously had a very fine week one against Anthem, scoring a hat trick there. So it'll be interesting to see if Mitch Wilson will be back for week two. It'll be interesting to see if Paulie Bellicana is back. Because if those two guys are back in the lineup, those are some really strong players. And that's where the kicking and the fielding, the high balls, that will certainly come into play. Come on, Paulie Bellicana scored, you know, was tied in tries, scored last year. For him to be back, that'd be a major boost for New England. So, you know, maybe an area that we can certainly attack there, but we got to be careful of Reese, particularly if he's poaching intercept, you know, if he's taking intercept passes. You talked about improving our passing. We got to be tightening that up against New England because
absolutely,
they've got some bolters. Yeah. And Patros loves to kick, man. He, if he sees an opening and an opportunity, kick the ball down the field and set things up for them, you know, we got to be prepared for that. So we'll see. We'll see that 10-15 combination again for Old Glory DC. Now, let's get into the game a little bit more here. We can talk about projected starters. Yes or no, do you think Danny Tusitala will be back?
I think that's a good question because I thought Buckley did really a pretty good job, and especially box kicking. I mean, we talked about how important kicking will be. I thought Buckley's box kicks were on point, like no notes on that. And I thought he kept the attack moving pretty well. He was where he needed to be. You know, one or two not quite accurate passes from the base of the ruck, but that was everyone, so I think that's a team problem, not a him problem. But then again, Danny Tusitala, Danny T.
Yeah.
He's Danny Tusitala, so I'm sort of happy. I think the coaches will make the right decision there, whoever is playing better and you know, seems to have it, they'll go with.
If we don't see Danny starting, I think we'll probably see him on the match day 23 coming on.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no reason not to put him in the match day 23. Yeah. I mean, McVay was fine, but he also, like we say, needed to get that ball out earlier. He just doesn't, I mean, he's not Danny Tusitala at the end of the day. So I think, and we have the foreign player slots to be putting whoever we want into this lineup. Like, no reason to leave Danny out of the lineup.
We can get 15 to 20 minutes of Danny. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I anticipate we'll probably see Danny on the match day 23, whether he starts or not. I was just looking ahead at the weather. It looks so it's going to rain in New England, like everywhere on the East Coast this week. Today, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday and Saturday, looks like it's going to dry out. Low 40s, mid 40s for Saturday for kickoff. So it'll be good rugby weather, mid 40s, sunny. The field should be relatively dry. So I think Chris Passing, hopefully, is back. So we'll see. We'll see there. It's a little better condition, certainly, than wet, foggy, humid day down in New Orleans. So something just to see there. We don't think we're going to have Damian Hoyland back. We just covered that Axel will still be missing. This one will be serving the last game of his suspension. Willie T, yes or no? Will we see him? Your call. What do you think?
Please.
Please.
I hope. I mean, it's one of the... Yeah. No, I think Willie T... put Tommaso Boni in there. I thought John Powers had a pretty good game, all things considered. Like, he didn't really stand out, but that's a good thing. Or at least that's not a bad thing. There were no moments where I was like, oof, what are you doing, John? So I think I'm happy for him to be coming off the bench. You know, Ishmael Shabazz or whoever covering the wing, or John Powers covering the wing. Yeah. he was also good at that too. I thought Rizzo had a pretty good game as well on the wing. So, yeah, I would sort of leave the back line unchanged, except put in Willie T, push John Powers to the bench.
Yeah.
And probably leave off Palema Roberts. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean...
Roberts, but that's the way it goes.
To piggyback on that, I thought Boney played pretty well in his MLR. Debut. I'm excited to see what he'll do when he is eventually paired on game day with a player like Willie T. I think that's just going to bring a different dynamic to that back line, and I think we'll see some exciting stuff once that happens. And Damian is in there, and Axel's in there. Like, the thought of all of that coming together excites me.
Yes.
Robertson at 10. It was interesting that Robertson was taking the kicks over Grady. I thought Grady played fine there, you know, controlling the game, making kicks where he needed to. And, you know, again, both are very capable of stepping up and making big kicks for penalties and conversions. So no concerns there. So AKP, whoo boy, give me your Old Glory DC. What's their key to winning this game against New England?
I think it's keeping in control. And I think, you know, it's playing like they played for the first 60 minutes against NOLA. I think it's, you know, it's a matter of making sure that they're playing in the New England half. you know, maybe giving New England the ball to play with, but really just holding the line, frustrating them there, not letting New England get up to too much shenanigans, or at least not letting their shenanigans turn into points or significant breaks down the field. I think just not letting it get away from them, even if they end, if they're sort of behind as they're going into the closing minutes. I think, actually, no, scratch that. I think they need to keep ahead now that I think about it, because I think part of the problem was when they loosened up a little, or they didn't react super well to being behind against Nolan. I think that's because they're a controlled team and they're trying to put defense first. And when you suddenly have to put attack first, that I think that messed with them a little bit. So I would hope that they stay tied, or at least, you know, don't get behind by more than 3 points at any point in the match.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I think there's a few things to weigh here too. We know the crowd is going to be loud. They pack the house out there. It's going to be their home opener. Again, I think they're getting their championship ring. So it's going to be, the fans are going to get into it, right? As much as you can to control the game, keep the fans from getting too loud and getting the players too riled up, New England, right? So getting points where you can. And I know we want to kick to the corner. I think we've got to be a little more judicial in how we decide when we're going to go for the corner or not. If we've got opportunities in front of the sticks to get 3 points and take it, milk some clock, control things a little bit, knowing that Robinson can step up and drill it every just about every time, I think we take those, right? And that I'm not seeing anything new. Like, that's rugby 101, right? Okay, great. What else do they need to be able to do? I think it's shake off week one, right? I think there's, again, we talked about the positives defensively. Nola Gold did not put any points on the board until about the 60th minute, right? So, and yes, New England is a different team, a more dynamic team. But I think O'Gore needs to just dig in and say, hey, look, the defensive structures that we put into place, like, we've got a good system here that we can work on, right? We can hold this, stay tight, not give up these silly penalties. That yellow card again at the end of the game, that crushed us. But, and if we can introduce, get some other players back, a little more creativity in the back line, and just the confidence that, look, we know we can play with a team like New England. Yes, there were a couple games where things got away, but, I mean, that Eastern Conference final game last year in a tough condition to play in, they were in that game. You know, the road game against New England last year, Old Glory had a chance to win that game. In fact, we're winning. A couple of things didn't go their way, an unlucky bounce didn't go their way. So, like, they've shown that they can play with this team. So the confidence in knowing that, hey, week one happened, we've got a long season, we are an Eastern Conference contender, let's go in there and let's play. So, you know, there's a lot of different keys in there. A lot of it is, some of it is psychological, some of it is just keeping our head on, knowing that they've got the confidence that we've got a good system here, and play. If we drop this one, okay, that's fine. We got a long season, the top four teams in the Eastern Conference make it. Let's continue to build and make progress and hit that stride May and June when we're competing for a top playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. So I'll pause there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pause there. If we don't play well against New England in week two, okay. I'd rather, you know, week 14, 15, 16, whenever we meet them again at home and we're firing on all cylinders, we got our full roster and we're punching people in the mouth, proverbially, whatever, baby, I'm fired up for that. So I'm going to take a long-term view on all this. Now, this is the tricky part here. We are an Old Glory DC podcast. Fan podcast. AKP, give me your score prediction. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? I can go first to take the pressure off.
Okay. Yeah, you go first.
Given everything that I just said, this is going to be a tough match for Old Glory DC, without question. We know that. If you're an outsider looking in, you look at what happened against Nola Gold and you say, DC didn't score any tries at all, and they had lead and they couldn't close the door, and they end up losing 18-6 to Nolan. They got no points. Old Glory DC should get run out of the stadium there. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Old Glory DC has the opportunity here going into this match. Every match should be, we need to get table points. There's no reason why they should leave New England without at least one table point. Are they capable of two table points? And what I mean by that is, scoring, what is it, three or four? Three tries, four tries?
Four tries.
That might be a tall task, but they've done it before. Four tries and losing by seven or less, two bonus points there. I think that is a real possibility here for Old Glory if those lineup changes that we talked about happen. Tall tasks. Again, do think there's an opportunity here to get a bonus point. Will they win this game? I don't know. Do I want them to win? Of course I do. Will they win this game? I don't know. And I keep backpedaling here, and I'll just get to it already. I think New England probably wins this game. The expectation is that they should win this game, right? They won 13 straight. The defending MLR champions. Does Old Glory DC need to win this game right now? I don't know. Have they shown enough to prove that they will win this game? I don't know. And I keep saying I don't know. So I'll just say it. I think New England probably wins this one. I think it's going to be Old Glory fighting and scraping the last 10 minutes or so to get within seven. I think it's something like a 30-23, 28-21. Old Glory DC gets at least a bonus point. Shows progress, vital progress in key phases of the game for a very important week three home opener against a very much improved Chicago Hounds side. So that's my prediction. I think New England wins this game, but I think Old Glory DC shows something and they get within seven. Maybe they get four tries, maybe they don't, but they get at least one table point.
Yeah. I think it's going to be lower scoring than that. I have confidence in this Old Glory defense. Yeah. I think we end up at, and I also think New England has a pretty good defense. Yeah. So I think we end up at sort of 20 to 16. Ooh. Think Old Glory gets one try, three penalty kicks.
That's on par.
And yeah. And I think that they stay close, but I do think there's a decent chance that New England breaks off a couple and manages to get themselves ahead. I think it is a battle the whole time. I think this game has a chance to get away from Old Glory if they get down early, but I think they really have a chance to win it. Like I say, if they can stay within, you know, within kicking range of New England, I think they do have a chance to scrape it out. And the thing is, you know, having looked at the numbers in Major League Rugby generally, there's no game where anyone is, I mean, in except for situations where, like, you know, 2021 LA being absolutely fantastic and them playing, you know, the Dallas Jackals, like, yeah, okay, of course, that game, guaranteed win for LA. But there's teams in Major League Rugby really aren't that far apart. There's a lot of chance for upsets, and especially early in the season, we don't really know a lot about these teams, and you know, we shouldn't take it as a guarantee that one team's favored, therefore they're guaranteed to win. There's always a chance at an upset.
Yeah, agree. You know, I'm sure you've crunched the numbers there. New England does have a very good winning percentage at home. You know, and that is a tough place to play for any team to go up there and travel and take on New England and win one in front of that crowd. So, yeah, I do think there's a chance Old Glory DC can put it together. And maybe that's just, you know, they got the week one result out of the way. They got the 80 minutes against another side. Simon Cross and the team comes back. They take all this week to review. They look at New England. They study up where are the opportunities, where are the weaknesses. We bring some reinforcements in. We got a ball game. You know, and that's all we ask. And I think it's going to happen because this squad, this is not a squad that's just going to lie you down. No chance in hell. We saw Koi Koi running down, trying to prevent that try at the end of it. Hooker running down a wing because he didn't want that score to happen. Like, that's the kind of shit that fires me up because it shows how much he cares, right? And I think that passion seeps through all the players because that is inspiring stuff. The guy like him coming onto the game in the first few minutes is just going to go balls out to try and prevent a score. I'm all for it. So, and I think that energy is in this squad, and we'll see more of it. So, woo, AKP, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting game. 2 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff.
Yep.
Up there. Old Glory DC, man. They MLR in the first couple of weeks, they love putting Old Glory front and center First game of each week. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Woo. Got that out of the way. Let's talk a little bit. Let's recap a little bit of what happened in week one and talk a little bit about what's coming up for week two. You know, just around MLR, I think one of the key things, one of the storylines has to be, it seemed like attendance was pretty good across the board. I mean, there were some games, and we saw how weather affected the games, right? That Miami-Chicago game, it was a downpour there in Fort Lauderdale. That stadium, not very big, but it was packed, it was loud, and man, was that a chippy game. That was a feisty game.
Yeah.
Like Miami, you could... They wanted to win really badly in front of their home crowd, and there's some interesting stuff that was going down in that game. But if you're a Miami Sharks fan, or just a fan of MLR across the board, you gotta be excited about that game, because again, Chicago, vastly improved squad. Interesting selections there with Billy Meeks at 10 and Luke Hardy not playing 10, but man, that was a fun game to watch, even if it wasn't the most well-played game.
Yeah. I think overall it was a really good week one around the league. I mean, you had a lot of close games. Really only New England and Anthem was a particularly bad game. And the attendance was good everywhere except LA, where... We talked about that potentially being a great attendance match, but then 10:45 at night that it started, and it was 45 minutes after the rest of the rugby had finished.
Concessions were closed. They apparently shut down.
Concessions were closed. Yeah. Everyone left. So, yeah, basically they handled it poorly. They had a chance there, but that was not the way to do it, guys. Yeah. But everywhere else, really good. I thought, you know, I think we don't really know how the teams are going to shake out yet. I don't think we saw some teams win, some teams lose, but I don't know that we really know what the hierarchy is going to be like in either conference yet. I mean, great matchups, Seattle and San Diego, really close. Houston and Utah, really, really close. You know, both showing positive signs. You know, Chicago and Miami, really close, both looking pretty good. You know, Dallas, so much improved.
Top of the Western
Conference. yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I think we're looking at a really, really good season of Major League Rugby.
Yeah.
And even you look at, you know, New England got their blowout, but even then, you know, I think I said last week that it would be a win if Anthem could get more than two tries. Well, they got exactly two tries, so that's basically what I expected. And I said it would be a win if they could keep New England under 40 points, and they kept them to about 40 mm-hmm. points. And so they pretty much performed exactly as expected. And so I don't know how much further ahead New England is than anyone else either. The only team that's clearly in the basement this year is going to be Anthem.
You know, I thought the crowd was pretty solid. I think they released a graphic a little over 2,300. I think that may steadily improve, right, as the weather gets nicer. But the stadium, I thought, looked pretty good. The crowd sounded like it was pretty loud down there. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting season as Anthem continues to compete against other MLR teams. But overall, I would say you got to be pretty optimistic about the level of a quality that they're going to bring to Major League Rugby. They may get a win or two. They might. I mean, that'd be cool. Hopefully not against Old Glory. Hopefully against someone else. But, you know, great for Dallas to get that win. I thought RFC LA, they played pretty well. They show that they're going to be a competitive squad. I mean, they were down a man, what, for like 20, 30 minutes in that game, it seemed like? Constantly. At one point, they were down two guys. So optimistic. Fortunately, the attendance situation didn't quite work out for them. It would have been nice to be able to piggyback off of the LA Sevens crowd, but I guess the crowd just was not into that. But yeah, I mean, week one, that was fun. Good start to the season. Did you want to look ahead now to week two and maybe go through some of our other matches here?
Yeah, let's make some rapid-fire predictions here.
Utah versus Chicago. Yes, Utah is at home. This one, maybe a little bit of a toss-up. I'm going to give the slight edge to Chicago just because on paper, they look better. I'll go Chicago, maybe 4 or 5 points.
I think we maybe get I'll go the other way. I think, you know, a few points to Utah. I think it's going to be really close. I hope Utah has a bounce back week too, and you know, figure some things out.
New Orleans hosts Anthem. New Orleans should win this game, but they probably have to look at that New England result and think this isn't exactly going to be a pushover. New England Nola has some stuff to work out. Nola probably wins this one. I think the scoreline won't be by 30. It'll probably be in that maybe 12-15 range. What do you think?
Oh, I think they win by 30.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think Nola had a lot of really good, showed a lot of really good things against us, and we just happened to have a really good defense. I don't think Anthem keeps them under 40 points. I think Anthem, you know, maybe Anthem scores a little more this time and, you know, gets over 20 points or something. But I expect it to be in the same sort of blowout range as New England.
All right. One to watch out for then. Seattle versus Miami. I believe Seattle is at home again. I could be wrong, but I think they are. Yeah, that's a home game for Seattle again. That was a fun match against San Diego. San Diego was down a man for 10, 20 minutes in that game. Yeah, I think there were two yellow cards, and they almost got a win out there. I like what Miami did against Chicago, but I think this is Seattle. I think they win this one. It's probably going to be, I'll go 10, 12 points at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Miami has the chance to, I think they're going to go down early, but I think they have the chance to try and make a comeback later in the match. But just winning in Seattle, that's going to be tough because, you know, Starfire Stadium, and Seattle really knows how to play well in that specific stadium. So I don't think Miami will win that.
Dallas versus San Diego. I've read somewhere, maybe on Reddit, is this a game where Dallas, are they pretenders or contenders? It might be still too early for that, but, you know, hey, all of a sudden this looks like a fun matchup. I'm going to give the edge to San Diego for a lot of different reasons. They almost beat Seattle at Starfire last week. I think San Diego probably puts together a better performance on the road against Dallas. I think San Diego wins this one probably 8 or 9, maybe 10.
Yeah, I'm sort of in that same sort of range, but I don't count out Dallas. I think it will learn a lot about Dallas. I mean, like you said, pretenders or contenders. I think this is where we learn, are they a better team this year than they were last year?
I think they are, which I think is great for the league across the board. And finally, Los Angeles versus Houston. Kind of a fun one here. I'm going to give the edge to Houston, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. 4, 5, 6 points. LA will keep it tight, I think. But I think Houston ends up pulling it out.
Yeah, LA was a little sloppy. If they can get the discipline under control, that'll count a lot in their favor. But, you know, Houston, you're just going to have to take the cohesion as a team. Houston's been around a little longer, and I think they take it.
Gotcha. All right, AKP, closing thought here. Again, I spring this on you as always. You don't know what's going to happen here. Say Old Glory does drop to New England. We don't pick up a table point. We start the season 0-2, no table points. What do you tell a distraught John Fitzpatrick Old Glory DC fan to keep his hopes up?
Oh, it's very early in the season, and we played two very good teams. We knocked off a bunch of rust. I think, you know, it'll obviously depend how that game goes and what we show against New England, but it's a long season. It's a very open playoff. Like, we've got a lot of chances to recover, even if we go down 2-0. Like, it's unfortunate, but it's by no means are we in must-win territory yet.
Yeah, excellent. And we do have the week 3 home opener against Chicago to look forward to as well. And yeah, like you said, we got a long way to go. We're just getting started. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'd rather be clicking, firing on all cylinders in week 14, 15, 16 as opposed to week 2. So, AKP, that does it for our recap of week 1 and our look ahead at week 2. It's going to be a fun, intense game. And hey, I think we got a shot here. But We'll see when they kick off at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. For my co-host, Alistair Kirschpool, I am John Fitzpatrick. You've been listening to the Glorious Rugby Podcast. We'll catch you next week when we break down a potential Old Glory DC win against the New England Free Jacks. Talk to you then.